God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings and good evening. This is your dog poet, Les Visible, hovering over that cesspool of darkness, Wall Street, this evening, as they take all of the stimulus and bailout money and use it to buy up other properties somewhere else without any of it passing on to the public, as it never does. There are various centers of evil on the planet. Wall Street is one. The city in London is another. Israel is another. Now, you may ask how demons have been released, archdemons from the pits of hell, in order to take over certain areas of endeavor and operation upon the physical planet. Well, there's an easy answer to that. It's all about judgment. The time of judgment is coming. And these forces have to be pushed out into the open, into physical form, in order to be judged in that state. That's going to happen. They're going to be dealt with. And we'll have a breath of fresh air as a mini golden age comes upon us, but not without a lot of birth pangs, as we shall see. Today I put a posting up at Visible Origami. Visible Origami was the first blog I put together. And a couple of years later, I did Smoking Mirrors. And then, a couple of years later, I think, or even 1 year later, I put together Reflections in a Petri Dish. Now today, Smoking Mirrors has nearly 3 million visits. Petri Dish has about 800,000. And Visible Origami has yet to get 500,000, I think. But Visible Origami is the metaphysical blog that deals with things of a spiritual nature. And that's just the case. Most people, about 1 in 10 or less, are interested in these things, and the rest flock to the more external and manifest temporal concerns that exist on the planet. They seem to feel these are more important to them, they're more deeply affected by them, and the destiny of them. They think that their life should be in the hands of temporary things, and unfortunately, that binds them to a ring of fire and constant and endless rebirth until they realize that that is not the direction they want to go in. However, there's something I want to talk to you about tonight that deals with this phenomenon of people's interest and where they lie and where perhaps they should lie. Tonight, I put together a posting on Visible Origami talking about what I consider to be the most important realities any mind should focus upon. And it's been linked at what really happened. And will be linked in other places as the day progresses. But the traffic to that site is slower than it has been to any of the other two sites in quite some time. It's of a more spiritual nature, this posting, than of anything I've posted in a while. And even though it's up at locations that generally draw a lot of traffic, people aren't going to the post. It's not as if they know what the post contains. There's a little blurb that indicates portions of it. However, for some reason, traffic is just not going there. And that is the nature of the game. I talked at the post about how religions, well, they're blind, but they're all the same, and they're all representative of the clothes that God wore at one time or another. If you think about the universe as being an enormous house, and then you think of a small closet where a certain amount of clothes, outfits are hung, each of these outfits would be one of the religions. And these are the clothes God wore at one point, then took them off and put them in the closet, and people are still worshiping these clothes as if they actually still house the body of the living God, which they do not, although there are routes through these religions to make connection with the living body of God, and that would be within your own body, I might add, or locations within your body, or things attached to your body, or attached to something else attached to your body, however the dynamics actually work. In any case, there's that tiny little closet with all the religions of the world, and this enormous house with many, many rooms where all sorts of fabulous and incomprehensible things are resident that we don't even know anything about. Our idea of the divine, the kingdoms of the divine, is so limited that it is absurd. And yet we think we have some grasp upon what's taking place. And most of the people that engage in these religions, and the people that engage in socio-political commentary, people who think of themselves as liberals or conservatives or libertarians, communist, socialists, whatever they view themselves as, or people that are engaged in certain philosophies, whether they're of an existential nature or something more traditional, whether it's Kantian or whether it's, of a sort of Christian nature like Swedenborg or Kierkegaard, you know, mathematically oriented like Spinoza or Descartes, and as much as those things have been, all that these people are focusing upon are the differences from other things. It's just one difference as opposed to another difference. And none of these things are the truth, because the truth is at right angles to everything and can't be seen from any of these other perspectives except its own perspective alone. So now what we have is that everyone is arguing about the differences between this and that when all the this and that rests upon one single common thing, that is the actual thing itself. And all of the other things, the differences, are evidence of the thing they rest upon. It's the thing they rest upon that is important. But the reason that so many people, the majority of people, a very, very large majority of people, are concerned with the differences is because the differences and the argument of differences inflate their own sense of self-importance, because the argument defines them in terms of the knowledge they believe they possess, which they possess none at all of. But in order to find true wisdom and to make connection to the real thing upon which everything else is based, you have to give up the personality that is engaged in the argument of differences for the sake of its own importance with all of the other personalities also in search of resident status of their own importance relative to however they see that. A bunch of clowns running around with sticks too big to lift, engaged in a constant conflict with one another over something that can never be resolved, and in a state where none of them possess anything superior to or more real than anything they're arguing with or about. This is something very important for every human being to realize. That is the thing itself that is the only thing that is to be sought, and it is not itself like any of the things that are the differences that are argued about. Advaita Vedanta, the idea that it's all one and there's no duality. Sankhya, the idea that it is a dualistic universe in which opposites work back and forth of the creation of things. The fact that they're God the Father, God the Mother, God the Brother, Sister, Friend. These are all simply aspect representations of duties that the divine carries out within the schematic of its being. They're all connected to it, but none of them are it. It is the thing behind all of these other things. And even the arguments about being all one or being dualistic or any of the other arguments that come around, whether they're that or extra dimensional, are some sort of unusual mathematical way of presenting these sorts of things. They all fall short. They're all nowhere near what needs to be understood. And what needs to be understood can only be found by the surrender of the personality that is engaged in the arguments about all of the differences. And that means the death of the personality, at least in terms of the way it views itself, and it means the complete loss of all sense of personal power and all sense of personal importance. And this is why everyone is loath to give it up, because it seems to mean the end of them. It is a price that they wish not to pay. And instead, they pay a far, far greater price by going in the other direction and forcing themselves into a cycle of endless rebirth into ever-ongoing states of ignorance in which they repeat themselves in all the various states of difference as opposed to the states of difference they previously occupied that they were arguing about before. Do you get that? Well, at least this is how it seems to me and is a thing upon which I want to concern myself, and the thing I would recommend to everyone else. And this is an age of darkness. And in an age of darkness, one thing is of greater power than any other, and that is bhakti, or what would be called the path of devotion. To be devoted to the living divine and surrender to the living divine and a love for the living divine, which can then feed you reciprocally by virtue of the connection between you and it until you and it are the same, which is really the object of the whole matter. This is something to consider and something to think upon. You're only going to get there through complete surrender and letting go of all the things that have given you the idea that you know anything, that put you in a position to argue about anything that you think you know, when you absolutely do not know anything whatsoever. This is what puts primitive people at an advantage to you, because they know the degree of their ignorance and are not, how shall we put it, deceived by the complexities of all the information they believe they possess that somehow substantiates the arguments they have, which are of the most pathetic order and that take upon themselves all these grandiose positions based upon the concept within the mind of the person creating it, reflecting back into their own sense of importance. Or did I already say that? It can be found through surrender and only in that way. This is the apocalypse. The skirts of truth are being lifted. The body beneath is being revealed. And you will see one way or the other, depending on how dramatic it has to be for the universe to wake you up in order to see it, because it is necessary for you to view it for the lesson that must become the bedrock and foundation for the new age that is coming. The quicker you surrender and let go of all your false pretense and premises concerning anything whatsoever, the quicker you can be informed by the divine. The more energetic you are for it, the hungrier you are for it. The more passionate you are for the union with the divine, the more quickly it will come to you. The divine is listening. The divine set it up in the first place for the sole purpose that you would come to this point in order to realize this. And everything is set up to gear you in this direction, so one cannot say there is not a substantial amount of help working in your corner to bring you to this understanding. Act now while there is time. An aperture is opening for an enormous dimensional shift. This particular shift only comes around every 26,000 years. The opportunities to enter into the remarkable are beyond description, which is why the pressure to not pay attention to it and to be engaged in trivial and superficial matters is also so great. Get a clue. I cannot be more specific and more direct about what I am saying. Am I correct? Well, the jury is out on that matter. Oh, well, we shall see, shall we not? Will you rely upon what you think you know, and do you think that is going to take you to where you need to get? Or will you rely upon the repository of that which knows everything? and get to where it wishes to take you. If it knows everything, it knows very well where you should be going, far more than you, who only have an idea of where you think you should be going based upon the premises of false knowledge. Is this communicating? Sorry, I don't mean to be patronizing. You know, one has to keep the flow going as one speaks, otherwise one runs into dead air. And there may come a time soon when there's going to be a great deal more dead air than we wish for. Judgment is coming. Forgiveness is present. Avail yourself of it. Surrender your false concepts. Close the door on the closet with all those old clothes that God used to wear, and look you to the new outfit God is appearing in as the Avatar in this time where we are presently resident. We are now in the time. It's November 5th to the 14th, Obama's a journey away, the critical point that the web bots spoke about, and another major moment coming in January and on from there. Who knows how it's going to get. In any case, it is time for me to leave, and so I can only say that I will see, or Avidahoren, from me next week, if there is one. May the light of the divine shine upon you and inspire you to ever greater desire and intention for union, because that is the place that you want to be. Everything else is pain and suffering and the endless torment of the routines and rituals of time. That said, aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.